Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Today I want to share with you a message on breaking free from the bondage of bitterness. The issue of bitterness is one which the Scripture exhorts us about, warns us against, encourages us to be on the lookout for. And we find the most familiar Scripture on the subject in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 15. And in that Scripture, it reads, "Looking diligently, lest any one fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." In the Amplified translation, the Scripture reads this way. Listen carefully. It's very helpful. "Exercise foresight and be on the watch to look, to see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace, His unmerited favor and spiritual blessing, in order that no root of resentment, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoot forth and cause trouble and bitter torment, and that many become contaminated and defiled by it." Another translation reads this way, and I'm reading these multiple translations so that you can take a hold of the heart of the Scripture about the issue of bitterness. It says in the Weymouth translation, "Carefully see to it that no one fails to avail himself of the grace of God, that no root bearing bitter fruit spring up and cause trouble among you, and through it the whole brotherhood be defiled." And then last of all, I'll read from the Phillips translation, and it says this, "Be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace of God, for if he does, there can spring up in him a bitter spirit which can poison the lives of many others." This Scripture is very important for us as believers to understand, to take a hold of, and to be watchful over our own lives with regard to the issue of bitterness. The key that we see here in the very beginning is that the Scripture in Hebrews 12:15 tells us that we're to be careful, or we're to see to it that no one fails to avail himself of the grace of God, or we're to be careful that none of you fail to respond to the grace of God, for if he does, there can spring up in him a bitter spirit. First of all, regardless of what may have happened in your life, no matter what hurt or offense you have been confronted with in life, and Jesus told us that it is impossible that no offenses should come, he said in Luke 17:1. He basically told us that in this world, offenses were going to come. But here in Hebrews 12, it tells us that the grace of God is available to each and every believer. And it says, "Be careful that none of you fail to respond to the grace of God, or carefully see to it that you don't fail to avail yourself of the grace of God." If you avail yourself of the grace of God, the grace of God will give you the power to respond in a godly way, regardless of the offense, of the hurt, of the pain, perhaps that's been inflicted upon your heart from the actions of another. And yet the grace of God can give you the supernatural ability to walk in love and to respond in love and to not become offended and to not become embittered and to not fall into the trap of unforgiveness, which will keep you in bondage until you forgive. And the grace of God is the key to avoiding bitterness or a bitter spirit coming upon you. How does bitterness take hold of a person? And if you are in the gall of bitterness, or you are struggling with the feelings of bitterness toward another, how did it come upon you? How did you fall into that place? Well, first of all, we have to understand that the open door to bitterness starts with the door of offense. And as I said earlier, Jesus said in Luke 17:1, it's impossible that no offenses should come in this lifetime. And in Matthew 24:10, it went on to say, then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And he was referring to the end times as things increase, as people become lovers of themselves and haters of God. We will see an increase in offensive behavior and offenses being committed against or perpetrated against people in our lives. The open door to bitterness is that door of offense. And offenses I like to describe as spiritual booby traps that are laid by Satan to attempt to get a foothold in your life. And the word offenses that's mentioned in Luke 17:1 and offended in Matthew 24:10 comes from the same root word, which means to entrap or to snare, to trip up or to occasion to fall or to entice to sin. That's what an offense is. It's an enticement for you to sin by becoming unforgiving, to sin by becoming bitter. Jesus told us that we would have to deal with offenses in this world. Just remember, an offense that comes against you is an opportunity for you to sin. It may be a sin for them to have committed the offense, but it comes to your plate as an opportunity for you to sin in response. When you become offended at another person for any reason, you are falling into a trap that's been laid for your soul. A Christian cannot live a victorious life in Christ and harbor any offenses whatsoever, regardless of how justified a person may feel that they are. Offenses will come through several venues. You may become offended because of mistreatment or neglect by another person, either real or perceived. A lot of people perceive that they've been mistreated or neglected, and the reality may be completely different, but they are not aware of the reality. They only see it from their own perspective, and they have no sense of what's going on with the other person, and perhaps the other individual is in no way neglecting you. They are simply caught up in their situation. Maybe they're under extreme pressure of their own, and perhaps it's you that's not being sensitive to them. And a person, I've seen many people become offended feeling that they're being neglected, and they are truthfully, they're having no sensitivity to the pressure that the other individual may be under. Secondly, a person may become offended at another person's actions or words. Perhaps their words or actions that have disappointed you. And I have seen this commonly when a person becomes offended at a leader or an authority figure who may have failed them. They're offended because of their actions, or they're offended because of their words. And this, and you as an individual might become so disappointed in this authority figure that you become offended at them because of their failure. And it may not have personally affected you other than the fact that they were in some position of authority in your life, like a minister or pastor. Thirdly, you may become offended when someone you care about or look up to does not fulfill your expectations. Fourthly, you may become offended at God because of disappointments in your life, which you feel either God caused or God allowed. All of these types of offenses, whether they were mistreatment or neglect or outright sin towards you, all of these offenses, remember, are an opportunity for you to sin, to respond in a sinful way or to respond in a loving, God-like, supernatural, agape love way. Now, if a person is offended, allows offense to get into their heart, they don't forgive the person immediately, they take on this hurt, and it may be very real hurt, and I'm in no way discounting it as being a real experience. I'm simply saying this is the way it works in the spiritual realm, and it's important for you to understand it if you're going to be able to defend against these attacks of the enemy, which Satan will use people to offend you very much on purpose, trying to get you into the snare of unforgiveness and bitterness. So when you see people coming against you, offending you in various ways, don't see them as the perpetrator. Look at the bigger picture. You need to see in the spirit and not look at the flesh. We're not to see people after the flesh, the scripture tells us. We need to look in the spirit and realize there is a satanic war or strategy that is not only against you, it's against that person as well. It's trying to get that person into the snare of sin and then use their sinfulness against you and bring your downfall as well. It's important to look at the entire picture and not focus just on your own feelings about the matter. The second thing that happens once this open door of offense has been opened is the trap of unforgiveness is waiting for you to step into it. Unforgiveness traps the person who harbors unforgiveness in their heart. This is why Satan works overtime, trying to encourage us to hold grudges and to desire revenge against people who have hurt us. Satan knows the scriptures very well, and he realizes better than a lot of Christians at times that every person will reap exactly what they sow. And that's in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. But God's word is clear that we will not receive forgiveness if we refuse to forgive. In Mark chapter 11, verse 26, it says, "If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you." This is a very powerful scripture. We need to recognize it. We need to have a holy fear about it, because we want to never be in the circumstance where we are not able to receive the forgiveness of God. God wants to forgive us, but he has a spiritual principle that you must forgive as well. And in Matthew chapter 18, we find the very familiar story of the king that forgave his servant a very large debt. He forgave a great amount of money that was owed by this debtor to him. And when this person went out, he found somebody who owed him a small amount of money by comparison to the amount he had owed the master, this king in the story in Matthew 18. And he grabbed this man, was rough with him, demanded that he pay his debt to him. And when the gentleman begged for more time, just like he had begged for more time with his master, he would not forgive the debt, and he threw the man in prison. And this situation came to the attention of the master, who had forgiven him the great amount of money. And the scripture tells, Jesus told this story, goes on to say that the master called him and said to him, after hearing this story, "You contemptible and wicked servant, I forgave you and canceled all that great debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had pity and mercy on your fellow servant as I had pity and mercy on you?" And in his wrath, his master turned him over to the torturers till he should pay all that he owed. "So also my heavenly Father will deal with every one of you if you do not freely forgive your brother from your heart his offenses." Now that story has some powerful implications, but Jesus was saying the importance of forgiveness for each and every individual, regardless of how large of a debt of offense a person has created in our lives. No matter how large the offense was, no matter how brutal it was, no matter how huge in your mind this debt that they owe you is, Jesus said, unless you forgive, His Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, will not forgive us. So this is so vital for us not to allow ourselves to fall into the trap of unforgiveness, even when we feel like the offense was so great that we deserve to be mad, angry, upset, and unforgiving towards the individual. Satan will try to lie to you and tell you that you cannot forgive because the hurt was so severe or the injury was so great. That is a lie from the pit of hell, trying to keep you in bondage to unforgiveness and bitterness. It's a lie because if you are a born-again Christian, you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, then Philippians 4:13 is your scripture, and it says that you can do all things through Christ who will strengthen you. And that includes forgive the most horrific offense that has ever been committed against you. God Himself will give you the supernatural ability to release the offender. It will be Christ who strengthens you. It won't be your own strength that you forgive with. And it won't be by emotion. It will be by a choice of your will to line yourself up with the Word of God and allow God to help you to release the offender. I recently had the opportunity to pray with a woman who was in her 40s who had been raped as a child. And horrible offense against her had been committed multiple times. She was very wounded. She was in the gall of bitterness and in the trap of unforgiveness. She had believed the lie that she could never forgive this person because the wickedness that was perpetrated against her was so horrific. God helped her. God enabled her. I prayed with her. I explained to her that it would not be by her own strength that she would forgive. It would be by the grace of God and by His help. And it was a choice of her will to open that trap of unforgiveness and let the offender get out of it. And by doing so, she'd be removing the trap that was upon her own life. If you can imagine a bear trap with two ends of it, and the offender's in one side and you're in the other, if you're the one who's holding unforgiveness or harboring bitterness in your heart. But by unlocking that trap and releasing the other person, she, in essence, was releasing herself from that trap of unforgiveness. And it was done by the grace of God and with the help of God and with the decision of her will. When she did that, the most marvelous and most magnificent healing came into her life. Her countenance, which had been so downcast, it looked like, if you had seen her on the street, as if she had a cloud over her head from which she could never rise above. The dark cloud followed her everywhere she went. And to add insult to injury in this scenario, her daughter, who was also now in her 20s, had also been raped as a child. She was bearing not only the grief over her own pain and suffering, having been in this bitter state for so long, but now she also was carrying false guilt, saying she was responsible for this happening to her daughter. And by the grace of God and by His help and with His Spirit, both of these two women were freed completely from this gall of bitterness, unforgiveness, and the trap that they were in that they felt like they could never be released from because of the depth of the pain and the depth of the offense that had been perpetrated against both of them. But God in His grace gave them the keys to unlock that trap of unforgiveness. They chose by faith, by an act of their will, to say, with God's help, I now forgive this person. I release them. I do not hold them accountable anymore. I don't seek revenge upon them. I turn them over to God, who is the judge of all the earth, and the judge of all the earth will do right in this situation. And God brought a great victory. He will do that for you. But you have to make a decision of your will that you no longer want to be bound in Satan's trap of unforgiveness. It only traps you. To forgive means to lay aside, to omit, to let alone, to yield up, to leave. This is done by an act of your will. Make a decision to obey God today and release the person who has hurt you. Remember, it's not accomplished by feeling forgiving toward the individual. Your feelings, your emotions will catch up with your actions. They will come in time. They're like a caboose at the end of the train. Whatever the engine at the front does, the caboose eventually will do, because that engine is the thing that drives it. And if it turns a great corner, that caboose will eventually turn the corner as well. But there's a gap between that engine and the caboose, as there is with your decision of your will and your feelings. So let your feelings catch up with your actions, but today make a decision of your will to release and forgive the person who has offended you. Remember, this is how God treats our sins when we ask Him to. And this is how we must immediately treat the sins of others, even if they never ask us for our forgiveness. That's a key that we need to understand. If you allow unforgiveness to continue unchecked in your life, it is an open door to torment, which can take a number of forms, including hopelessness, discouragement, despair, and fear. That parable that I read to you from Matthew 18 gives us a picture of what happens when that person refuses to forgive. Remember, the master turned the man over to the tormentors, or the Amplified Version calls it the torturers. And that's exactly what happens. The person who doesn't forgive, the end result is spiritual imprisonment with torment, unrelenting torment. People bound in unforgiveness are miserable people who have no joy in their lives. And if they continue in unforgiveness, then they end up in what I call the bondage of bitterness. Paul called it the gall of bitterness. Bitterness is the condition that results when a person's been offended and then has become unforgiving toward the offender and then eventually becomes embittered, hardened, with a heart that is filled with unfulfilled revenge. And you could say it is murder begun. When you've reached the point of bitterness, it is murder begun in the heart. And God doesn't want you there. God wants to have you free to experience the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, joy, peace, and the Holy Ghost. We are warned to not allow that root of bitterness to spring up in our lives because it will defile or contaminate other people. If you are bitter towards somebody, even if it has nothing to do with any of your family members, understand that that bitter spirit that you are carrying will contaminate and defile your spouse. It'll contaminate and defile your children. It'll contaminate and defile anybody you spend a lot of time with. So God wants you free from that. God wants you free from the bondage of bitterness and the trap of unforgiveness. And He wants you to shut the door to offense, which is the place that unforgiveness and bitterness begins. Let me pray with you right now if this has been an issue for you in your life. Say with me, Father God, I confess unforgiveness, resentment, and bitterness toward, and you say the person's name. I confess that as sin to you today, and I ask you to forgive me. And I break off all of my agreement, every contract or covenant I've ever made, knowingly or unknowingly, with the spirit of bitterness, with the spirit of resentment, with the spirit of offense. And I nail it all to the cross with Jesus until it's dead and gone. And I renounce unforgiveness, bitterness, and offense, and I will not be in agreement with it anymore. Now, I would encourage you to take the second step and say, Father, with your help and by your grace, I choose, as an act of my will, to forgive and to release and say the person's name, and I do not hold them accountable for their sin against me any longer. I turn them over to the judge of all the earth, who will do right. Now that you have asked for forgiveness and received it from God and you've forgiven that person, I want to encourage you to seek out every opportunity to overcome evil with good, as we're told in Romans 12:21, to walk in love toward that person. And you can do that, first of all, by beginning to pray for that individual. Every time their face or their name comes to your mind and Satan's trying to remind you of how they've offended you, simply say, Satan, thanks for reminding me to pray for them, and begin to pray. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. Have a victorious week. Thank you so much for listening. I would just love to hear from you if this broadcast has been a blessing in your life. And if you will call or write to me, I will send you two of my free monthly teaching pamphlets. In these pamphlets, I write each month about a down-to-earth subject that will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. It's a practical teaching that you can also share with a friend to whom it may also be a blessing, which is why I send you two copies.
Won't you call or write to me today and request these free teaching pamphlets? You can contact us on our toll-free number or write to us at the address that will be mentioned in just a moment. Or if you have internet access, be sure to contact us through our website. Thanks again for listening. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. Have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-KEY-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.